Start your day connecting faith to life with Faith Radio Mornings. Let it rise.
Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Happy Thursday, May 4th. It is also the National Day of Prayer. How awesome is that? I'm a big fan of prayer. I love it. So it probably makes perfect sense to open the program in prayer. Heavenly Father, bless our nation and our world. We repent of our sin and we ask for what we each individually need to do to always make you first in our lives and to share the hope that we have with others and to learn to love our neighbors as ourselves in Jesus' name. You know, I think this whole National Day of Prayer started quite a long time ago. There was friction in 1768 and 1776 between the American colonists and England spurred some American cities and colonies to proclaim days of prayer. For instance, in Boston, imagine this, they declared a day of fasting and prayer in September of 1768 as a protest against a British plan to station troops in the city. So the observance of a day of fasting and prayer was actually brought to all by the colonists in the Continental Congress in 1775, so even before we began. So this has been around forever, and I think it's a most awesome idea that we're taking one day a year to say, hey, let's all pay attention, let's all pray, let's all pray for our country. I think the motto is, hear us, forgive us, and heal us. How awesome is that? We can think about that throughout the day. And if you're looking for a place to go publicly pray and worship, I know if you go onto the National Day of Prayer website and type in your address and zip code, they will give you a whole range of places and times, by the way. There are events happening right now as we speak, breakfast meetings going on, and it will last all day up until the night. And some activities are actually, they have some fun planned in it, so you can pray and bring your family and just make it a whole family event. Now, this morning on Faith Radio, we've decided to try to reach out to every one of our listening areas and find a pastor who would give us an update of what's going on in their community and then also to pray for us and pray for our country. So that's how we're going to spend the morning. If you have a prayer request, let us know what it is. We'd love to pray for you or for whatever your request is. You can call us at 1-877-933-2484. You can also email me at bill@myfaithradio.com. We'll read it on the air and we'll pray for you. We'd love to do that because every day we need prayer and lots of it. So we'll take a short break and come back on National Day of Prayer. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back. So glad you're with us today. Today, of course, is the National Day of Prayer, and we're talking to pastors from all over the listening area. And I have on the studio line Mike Hunter from Northern Lights Christian Church up in the Duluth area. Mike, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me.
You know, I'm always curious. I love the Duluth area. I just love it up there. And you have like two or three really nice days in the summer. The rest of the time, it's always like, why is it so cold in Duluth, huh?
Well, that's a good question. I'd like to know as well. I've only been here about 4 years, and they didn't tell me.
That was not in the brochure, was it? Yeah.
No, it was.
Mike, I'm curious too on the National Day of Prayer. What we can be aware of in your community? What are your prayer concerns in particular? I know there's all kinds of common ones that everyone has, but are there any specific ones in your area?
Sure. As I mentioned, I'm new to the area. I came from down in the Bible Belt in Tennessee, and a few years ago we were called up here to plant Northern Light Church. And what I found is that in the area of Duluth, there is some need for churches coming together and being the body. Setting up a situation where we can set our denominational differences aside and set aside our cultural differences and come together for the purpose of building the kingdom. And a lot of people will ask me, well, how is the Northland different? And having traveled around quite a bit around this country and overseas, what I found is that there's not a lot of difference from people from, you know, place to place. The challenge that we have found here is that prayer oftentimes becomes an opportunity for an event. And I think that those times are good. I think the National Day of Prayer is something that is awesome and that we need to take advantage of. But I think sometimes we miss the significance of prayer in that it should be something that we should be doing daily, at least more often corporately. One of my favorite scriptures, as I'm sure it's a lot of the listeners' favorites, comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and will heal their land. I think that what we found in Duluth is sometimes we think that God says that we should do that on a quarterly basis or on an annual basis.
Uh-huh. So why if we if prayer is the source of our power, why do you think Christians have this sometimes lackadaisical attitude about it? Like, well, I didn't really get around to praying today, or I'm just going to say a couple words to God as I'm trailing off to sleep. It's not really the attitude we should have, is it, Mike?
It's not, and I think that leaders, pastors, and religious leaders in the community have to own some responsibility for that, because I think that oftentimes we have neglected the importance of it, and we have not emphasized how it should be an integral part of our daily lives, where we tend to highlight it often on these days like the National Day of Prayer and other times. You know, it's interesting when you look at that scripture from Chronicles in context, what you notice is that God is speaking to Solomon after Solomon and the Jewish people have constructed the temple. He says, this is going to be my dwelling place, and I want you to come and to commune with me and to pray with me. And that was intended to be on a daily basis. And of course, we don't have the brick and mortar temple anymore. We have something that is perhaps greater than that. The reality that the Holy Spirit lives within our bodily temples. But we're told that God says that my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers who are offered in this place, in the temple. Mm. And so I think that we need to get back to the reality where John 14:17 says that the Holy Spirit, the world can't accept him because it doesn't see him or know him, but you know him because he lives within you.
Wow.
And I think that God has this genuine desire to want to talk to us and speak with us and to hear our fears and our as well as our joys and just to spend time with him daily.
You're highly motivating us to pray on this day, National Day of Prayer, Mike. It's awesome. Now, if you would you lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. Father, we thank you that you love us so much. Since the fall of man back in the garden, you've been working hard to provide a means to get us back into a relationship with you. And we know, Lord, that the solution ultimately required the death of your son on a cross on our behalf. And so we're grateful for that. And it's because of that sacrifice that we can spend eternity with you. And we pray, Lord, that we would be mindful that eternity starts from the moment that we enter into a relationship with you, not when we cross the threshold of the personal, of the physical realm into the spiritual realm, but from the very moment of salvation. Help us, Lord, to remember that you just want to be with us and to speak with us and to share with us. And I pray, Lord, that you give us a heart daily for those conversations with you. Give us as a body, Lord, as a family, a desire to make the effort to come together regularly, despite our traditions and our denominational affiliations, despite worship styles or cultural differences. Just allow us to truly be your people, humbled and willing to seek your face daily. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mike Hunter, thank you so much. That was awesome. Northern Lights Christian Church in the Duluth area. Thanks for being with us on the program today. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back. We are on a major roll today with the National Day of Prayer. We're having so much fun talking to pastors from around the listening area. And I have on the studio line Mike Beresford from Madison. He is at a church called High Point Church. He also, I think, is on a Sunday morning TV program. Are you that good looking?
Nope, that wouldn't be me.
Okay.
I got a face for radio.
Okay, awesome, as do I. So nice to have you on the show. Tell me about a little bit about your community right now in Madison. What's going on? What are some of the prayer concerns that are going on among the churches in your community?
What's interesting, I've been here for 20 months and kind of an outside person coming in. I've worked at national level positions, and coming in and seeing a community that has a reputation for being liberal in the Midwest, and yet I'm from the coast. I grew up in Seattle and have worked around Europe and such, and so definitions of liberal vary. What I see in Madison is just a growing hunger for truth, which in our context is the gospel. You know, many people have said that Madison is a very difficult place for evangelism, and yet if you put your ear to the ground, you hear a lot of stories of what God is doing and people coming to Christ, and just a hunger for something that is different, is beyond what man can come up with. A friend of mine this last year made the statement, he said, I've grown up here, but I've never seen Madison as poised for the gospel as it is today.
Wow.
It's easy, I think, for Christians to feel like they're in the trenches, which is rightly so, but we also serve the King who's ultimately the winner. And to recognize that we don't lose the war. Sometimes the battles are difficult, but we've got a God who redeems and who is very proactive in drawing people to himself, and to be a part of that's an exciting thing.
You know, Mike, it seems like sometimes our brains will connect dots that aren't even there because, you know, you're saying that Madison is prime for evangelism. And I think most of us would go, oh, liberal Madison, they must be not interested in evangelism. And you're telling me just the opposite. So great reminder not to let our brains fill in and try to connect dots that aren't there.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's the day in and day outs can wear you down. But also at the end of the day, God is faithful. And there hasn't been anything other than what he gave us, what Jesus talked about in his death and resurrection. And it still is purposed, and it still is powerful, and it still redeems, and it still transforms. In the same manner that we came to Christ, people still are hungry. They may not know what it's called, and the enemy has created all kinds of taglines to push the voice of the Christian aside. And unfortunately, sometimes we've deserved some of those taglines. And so it's just all more the imperative to really live out our faith well, and to let God's word inform our hearts so that how we think, how we behave, how we work, how we do those things really is for God's utmost. And when we do that, we do look different. We do have an advantage.
Yeah, so as we are just enjoying this National Day of Prayer and finding that there are many needs that our country has, obviously there's lots of trouble in the world. We don't have to go very far to find it. Most of it's as well in our own backyard. How should we go about praying today?
You know, there's a group that's asking the question around Madison schools. What does God want to do? How does he want to use the church in regards to some of the disparity found in education and the race issues and things? We've been asking, how would God want us to pray for Madison? Sometimes we have a shopping list, but what would God want us to be praying for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can't help but it's some of the things that he would ask us to be praying for are kind of what Jesus said, you know, pray for the harvesters because the harvest is plentiful. You know, it's there, but we need workers.
Yeah.
You know, that we would pray for the church, that we would recognize who we are in Christ and then fulfill out that identity. Full of the Spirit, full of, you know, proclaiming his name, doing the things, being good workers, being great people in the community, doing the things that allow us to have the platform to say, yes, you know, I am pro-life in every aspect. God is great. It's allowing me to love my spouse, to parent my kids, to be a great worker, to
to value the things that God said are valuable in His.
Mm-hmm.
To recognize that sometimes we persevere.
Yeah.
But Mike, that perseverance brings about other good things.
Yeah. Mike, let's put our words into action. Would you close us out in a word of prayer?
Father, we are so grateful for who you are, your faithfulness, for your goodness. I asked the question this morning, if we just listened to our prayers, who would people think you were? And so I want our prayers today to be full of your name and your goodness and accolades that would cause people to look at you and to worship you. Because in all of your goodness, you set forth order and you created these wonderful things called marriage and governance and called us to be good stewards. And while you own everything, you've said that we should steward things well and be responsible, not only in our faith, but in how we go about living daily in our communities so that others can flourish. And we just want to give you credit. We want to give you the recognition that not only you deserve, but is just true. And as we live our lives out in front of you, well, to your glory, that other people would see that being a Christian is beyond just a name. It's beyond just gathering, but it's a way of living that is good because our God is good. It's a way of living that promotes life because our God created life. It's a way of living that is just because you are just. And that the church today would really stand up and be the hands and feet of Christ that we like to preach. But it's tough to do on Tuesday mornings sometimes. And that we would realize that everything we put our hand to truly can be for your glory. And I do pray for those that are struggling, because struggle is real in this world. But not that they would run from it, but that they would persevere and recognize that there's a reason you identify yourself as our high tower and our fortress. And we would come to you to be refreshed. Then we would stand strong and do the work that you've called us to, just in the normalcy of daily life, in that your name would be lifted up. Pray for our policymakers and police and those who govern and those who uphold the law, for educators, for those who are giving their lives, whether they agree or not with some of the education system, and that they're putting themselves in classrooms with children to influence and to teach and many times to give a breakfast to or to say an encouraging word, and that they would know that you're doing the very thing that you would want them to do. And we pray for those that maybe are less fortunate in some way, that they would see the church not as a place to pass by, but a place of refuge, a place of strength, that they can find truth in. And for the pastors, Father, I just pray that they would preach the word and that they would find their answers to the congregations and encouragement in your word. And there would not be any wavering from what truth truly is. Thank you for the opportunity to live today in your name by your power. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mike, for being a guest on the show. Just a delight to have you. We'll call you again.
I'd like that, Bill, and thanks for what you do. And hopefully we'll see you at the Capitol. I'll be down there. And then we have a prayer gathering this evening at 7 o'clock at High Point Church.
Awesome.
As continuing part of the National Day of Prayer.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, Mike. God bless.
Thank you, Bill.
Yep. We'll be right back with more Faith Radio. Nine minutes after the hour. Good morning. We are praying away this morning. I hope you are starting that way as well. Got a nice email from a listener, said requesting prayer for reuniting the bond of a father and his divided sons. Divorce, deaths, and continuing battles of addiction are blocking what God intends. Recovery is possible through him. Let me remind you to listen to Real Recovery Sundays at 5. Wish my verbiage could better express, but bless you all and hope you all persist in delivering in the valleys. We're sometimes in valleys, and if this is your situation today, we're praying for you as well. If you have a prayer request, give us a call, 1-877-933-2484, or you can email me at bill@myfaithradio.com. Love to hear from you. Today is the National Day of Prayer. We'll take a short break and be right back with more praying. It is 35 minutes after the hour. Good morning here on this National Day of Prayer. Bill Arnold here. You know, most of what I learned about prayer, I learned from my mother. She would say things like, you better pray that comes out of the rug. You better pray we find your brother's eyeball. All those kind of warnings. So you do learn to pray, and you get on your knees. And it seems that people, when they get in a situation where they may be pregnant, are praying as well. And they are in a panic because many don't want to be pregnant. And this is a very sensitive subject. And the best person to talk to, of course, is Kim Cotola from Cradle My Heart Radio. Kim, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. About that eyeball.
Oh, yeah. You know, that was always the fear. You know, you could hurt somebody. You could take out an eye. You know, that was always the big fear. You could take out an eye.
I mean, I've heard that, but I never pictured the eyeball actually being extracted.
I know. It's kind of graphic, isn't it?
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Speaking of graphic, how about that viral video of that principal? What a bully that guy was. Talk about that.
Goodness. So Zach Ruff is the vice principal at Downington STEM Academy in Chester County, Pennsylvania. And it's a really well-rated school. I think one of the top three in Pennsylvania. And so a couple of teenaged pro-life activists went on the sidewalk. And I think they would probably call themselves abolitionists, Bill, because there's a divide that's growing in the pro-life movement. There are those who say, you know what, incremental legislation, all these various things are not enough. We need to straight up stand for abolishing abortion, and that's a separate discussion. But anyway, these young abolitionists were out with posters, including and they didn't include that on their viral video, but from the description and the way everything unfolded, apparently there were graphic images of an abortion victim on their signs that they were using. So they stood on the sidewalk outside of this school, and the vice principal arrived, told them to shove off, and they said, well, it's a public sidewalk, and we have the right to be here. And I should be fair, when he first stepped up, he didn't say shove off or use language like that. He said, you have to move.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, it's a public sidewalk. And they were very reasonable, and they were very even-handed with their emotions. And they continued to hold their signs, and they continued to call out to people in cars who were, you know, driving by the school, students included. And he escalated and got more and more abusive in his language. And he used the worst possible, profanity.
Mm-hmm.
And again, these are teenagers. He was refuting their sign. And he said, you know, someone said these are human beings. It was, I think, a brother and sister team. And he said, that's not a person. That's just cells. This is a science academy, which is, I mean, probably the most embarrassing moment of the entire exchange for him, aside from the fact that he completely lost it with a couple of teenagers and disgraced himself with his language and his behavior. I mean, when they tried to call out over him, he started singing loudly Broadway show tunes.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to block their sign with his body, and then he kept just trying to bully and hector them. No, you may not speak to my students, and this type of thing. And he got placed on administrative leave, and then he was humbled. I don't know if by his own heart or the Lord or the school, but I'm guessing it wasn't the Lord, given the way that he responded
right
to their call for him to come to Jesus, which was his worst profane moment. But anyway, he apologized. He said that this is not in the spirit of civil rights at the school. But 20,000 people, Bill, have tried to have signed a petition to try to get him reinstated. To me, that's the most troubling part of
the whole story. That's amazing. 20,000 people have signed an online petition defending him.
Yes.
I'm thinking, wow, you step on a sidewalk and bully kids?
And you're in a
position of leadership and authority, and now we're getting 20,000 online signatures defending him?
I can't take it in. It's you know, woe to you who call evil good and good evil. And some people have said, look, if you're a protester, you should be ready for a counter protest.
Mm-hmm.
And really all he did was also use words.
Right.
So if you're going to step up and exercise your right to free speech, guess what? You may encounter somebody who's going to exercise theirs right back at you, right in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as that's concerned, the young people comported themselves beautifully. They did not match energies. The more angry and abusive he became, the more level and calm they became. And so I think it's really clear for anybody looking on who actually won that argument, if there was a winner or a loser. But for the people that are supporting the vice principal, you know, maybe he's a person who's done a lot of good in his community, mm-hmm. and this simply set him off, and this was very much out of character for him. I don't know, but there's no defense for his behavior as caught on that video.
Yeah, I did watch the video, and the cringe factor was pretty high. I was getting increasingly more and more uncomfortable as I thought, oh, this guy is flooded and off the rails, and these are kids, and obviously they're protesters, but still, you're the vice principal.
It brings up once more, Bill, the idea for those who are very upset about the display of abortion victims via photographs publicly. You know, if just seeing that is so upsetting to you, how do you feel about the reality that it's happening at the level of a million lives a year? If the picture is so troubling, where is your heart toward the actual people being depicted, you know, as dismembered in these images? Where's your heart for the actual children? And this is a question I think we each have to wrestle with individually. And I would hope that our answer is not to be angry at those who are exposing the truth, but instead to be upset over those who are exploiting and, you know, and killing children.
Kim, how do you feel about Charmaine Yost being named to Health and Human Services post?
I think that it's a very interesting development. It's one that I did not see coming, but I mean, I'm not connected inside Washington.
You should
anything.
Be.
but
I'm going to send somebody a text message today.
Not politics for me,
Kim,
Bill.
In there somewhere.
Not politics for me. But Charmaine is the former president now of Americans United for Life, and she's been a pro-life advocate for a long time, and she's definitely acutely aware of the issues. And so for her to be appointed by President Trump as the Assistant Secretary of Public Affairs at the Department of Health and Human Services, I think is a great thing. The more people that we can have inside the Trump administration who understand intimately the issues surrounding, you know, abortion and surrounding public policy related to abortion, the better it will be. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had the pleasure of traveling on a protest trip with Charmaine Yost and Catherine Davis, who organized the trip. We drove by bus from Atlanta to Selma, Alabama, to protest a back alley abortionist who was operating under the radar. And when the information was brought to light to the Alabama Department of Health, they refused to act. So we walked across the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, with Charmaine Yost leading us, along with Catherine Davis and Dr. Alveda King. And my experience of being in her company, I didn't become, you know, intimately acquainted with her that day, but my experience of being in her company is that she's a godly woman of prayer, and she's got a very solid, common sense approach to the problems that we face. And she's, again, a very even-handed and level-headed individual, which is, I think, really needed in these times when there's so much confusion and deception going on around the question of abortion.
Mm-hmm. Kim, we only have about 3 minutes left, and this is a big topic, but the Republicans did fail to defund Planned Parenthood.
And, you know, not many people have been really even aware of that. They didn't get a lot of press coverage, but Politico reported on that. They did. The guy's bill was that, well, we don't want a government shutdown, so we've got to pass some kind of spending bill. And there it is. Planned Parenthood's funding stayed intact, at least through the fall. So if that concerns you, you have the opportunity to get in touch with your representative and let them know that if this was an issue that you voted upon, which many people said they did back in the fall, that you expect them to carry through on their promises on what they said they would do. To me, it's very disappointing that that happened the way that it did.
Mm-hmm. With just a couple of minutes left, Kim, I know on National Day of Prayer, there are women today that are in a place of an unwanted pregnancy, and we need to pray for them. Would you close us in prayer this morning?
Oh, I'd be privileged. Thanks. Lord Jesus, we come to you in your holy name, and we ask you, Lord, to remember your promises concerning those who can't seem to find you or see you today. You said that you would never leave us and that you would never forsake us. And Lord, we know that your hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor is your ear heavy, that it cannot hear. And when we cry to you, Lord, we know that you answer us and you can make us bold with strength in our souls. And so, Lord, we do pray that you would not hide your face from those who need you in this hour concerning an unplanned pregnancy in particular, or even those, Lord, who have already made a decision for abortion and lost a child. Don't turn away from them in anger, Lord. We know that you have a heart of love toward them and that you will be their help and that you will not leave or forsake us. Jesus, show yourself strong in the lives of those whose desperate cries go up to you today. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are the God of love and compassion and hope, and that our future is secure in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jim, thank you so much. I've got a couple more questions, but they'll have to wait till next week, if that's all right.
Awesome, Bill.
You'll be
thank
with
you.
Us. Look forward to it. Have a great day.
Talk to you soon.
All right. 46 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute. So glad to have you with us this morning. Bill Arnold here. You know, I am always excited when we get to talk to pastors in the family, in the listening family. We've got Andy Veith on the phone. He is at Bethel Church in Fargo, North Dakota, and we're so delighted he can jump on board this morning on the big National Day of Prayer and talk about what's going on in his community. Andy, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm delighted. Say, I don't know what is going on in your particular community, but, you know, the prayer requests are many, and I want to know and let our listeners know what's going on in your neck of the woods.
Well, I mean, as far as the, you know, the state of the community, when we talk about the church world, you know, I come from a different perspective in the sense that I've only been here for 9 months and I'm still learning. I lived here before in this community, but things have changed drastically. But some of the exciting things that are happening is I've just noticed this incredible connection between pastors and churches beyond denominational walls.
Oh,
we're kind of
awesome.
Locking arms and kind of, you know, chasing after the gospel of Jesus, and we have that in common, and we're excited about that. Pastors hang out with each other, encourage each other, support one another. Churches are having combined services, you know, taking advantage of each other's opportunities and so on. There's just a really strong network that's happening.
So pastors right among denominations are getting along and meeting and encouraging each other?
Yeah, it's unique, isn't it?
It sounds like you live on really... Unicorn Island.
It's kind of a unique thing, but it's pretty exciting to be a part of. Yeah, I've connected with several pastors in the community already, and we've had lunch, and we've done services together, and you know, when we keep the gospel in front of us as the main goal, you know, then we're able to lock arms.
You know, and Andy, isn't that absolutely the truth? Just to keep the main thing the main thing. If you do that,
yes.
We should all be getting along just fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can transform people and change them. And I love the fact that there is a community getting together in your neck of the woods and talking to each other. Now, we've got the National Day of Prayer upon us. So I know that there's all kinds of concerns internationally. There's anywhere from terrorism to the abortion issue and everything else. Is there anything that is really kind of a barking dog in your church right now?
Well, I would say not only just in our church, but in our community. I think one of the things that we're seeing happen, and I know several communities can say this, but, you know, moving from Des Moines, Iowa to Fargo, I see this even more, and that is that God is bringing the world to us. We have so many new Americans.
That's true.
And just a huge prayer request for us and other churches would be just that we'd be a welcoming church. And that we would receive well and just with open arms and reach out to them and allow them to become a part of our body.
And do you find that as the church is becoming more diverse, that people are comfortable with it, or is it a slow learn for them?
You know, I would say, you know, I've only been here 9 months, but and Bethel's a different place than it was when I was here 16 years ago. Part of that is because the community has changed, and I've been really encouraged to watch our church receive with open arms. So I would say that you know we've been very welcoming, and you know it's exciting to see.
Well, I'm very encouraged by this, and I love the fact that denominations are getting together and talking and loving each other and encouraging each other. So that's real encouraging on this National Day of Prayer. As we're looking to hold hands and pray, I was wondering if you wouldn't offer up a word of prayer for our listening community.
I would love to do that. I would love to do that. Let me pray. Father God, we come to you knowing that you are sovereign, that you are Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the great I Am, and that's why we call upon you. And Father, we just thank you and praise you for who you are. Lord, we want to come to you, first of all, just in humility, and we want to ask for forgiveness. Lord, in a sense, we want to repent of the things that we have done or are doing that are not helpful for the kingdom. And Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom beyond our own to show us those areas of weakness, those blind spots, Lord, that we can turn from them, that we become more effective for your glory. And God, we come to you and we ask. We ask for your glory. We ask for salvation. We ask for people's lives to be radically changed as they're introduced into Jesus Christ, their Savior, Lord. And I pray that you would use us as a church, you would use us as a community to be just that vessel for that message of life change. We pray for just an awakening in our people, Lord, that we would just see this revival of people coming to Christ, but also people turning back to you. And God, I pray that you would give us the faith to walk in obedience to what you call us to do. And Lord, just this tremendous hunger for your word, we pray, Lord. And Lord, we ask that we would just yield ourselves. We present ourselves to you as your church. You are the head of this church. You are the head of the church in Fargo-Moorhead. And Lord, we want to give all glory to you. And we wait with anticipation to see what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Andy V, thank you so much for coming on the show from Bethel Church in Fargo, North Dakota, and God bless you and all of your flock, and we look forward to talking to you again somewhere down the road.
Thank you. It's my privilege. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Andy, thanks. We'll be right back with more Faith Radio. Good morning, friends. It's 56 minutes after the hour on this National Day of Prayer. We're doing lots of praying around here today and inviting pastors from the listening community to join us in prayer. Had a prayer request come in from a kind and loving listener who's got a daughter and son-in-law that are having some marital difficulties, so I've been praying that God would just intervene. They have two little boys in the family, and praying that God will heal that relationship and that they will also be exposed to their own selfishness and the things that keep people apart and fighting and arguing, and that they will just seek the greatest good and be honoring God in the next decision they make regarding their family. Pray all this in Jesus' name. All right, we've got a lot more of the show coming up. If you have a prayer request, we'd love to hear from you, 1-877-933-2484, or you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. That's bill@myfaithradio.com. Give us a call or an email, and we'd love to hear what's on your heart this morning. And thanks for being with us today. We love you. All right, be back in a minute.
Start your day connecting faith to life with Faith Radio Mornings. Let it ride.
Hello and good morning. Bill Arnold here. It's 4 minutes after the hour. We are having a very exciting day here at Faith Radio, because we're trying to connect with all of our listening partners and across the whole Upper Midwest. We're even going to get as far as Hartford today and talk to just about everyone that tunes into Faith Radio. So we're looking forward to that on this big National Day of Prayer. Here's a novel idea. Here's a church in the Minnesota area that is having a drive-through prayer event. So you just sort of pull up to the window and they pray for you right there. And they'll promise not to make fun of how dirty your car is. That's worth something. But I thought that's kind of a novel idea. They say more than 10,000 cars pass by every day, and the staff thought this might be an opportunity to share love and comfort with the community. So you don't even have to get out of your car. Just pull up. They'll pray for you, and there you go.
I love that. That's so cool.
It's so novel. They might even, who knows what else they might have. Be nice if they had coffee.
It would. It would be an extra inducement.
There'd be more people interested in praying, wouldn't they? Oh, I could pray right now.
Just a little more awake.
Yes.
Yeah.
And another cream, please. So it is National Day of Prayer, and we're wondering if you have something in particular you would like us to pray for you. 1-877-933-2484. Or you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. Or, you know, maybe today is the day because you can start this conversation with a neighbor, with someone maybe at work that you know you've got a relationship with. You could just say, hey, And this would be bold, but you could just say, hey, anything going on in your life that I could be praying for you? Maybe it's not even you. Maybe someone you know in your life that needs prayer. I'd be delighted to do that today. And people might look at you like you're nuts, but that's okay. We are nuts because we want to just love and serve Christ. And today is just the National Day of Prayer. So let's get out and be bold, huh? What do you think, Rebecca?
I think that's always a good idea. But I also know that praying is one of those things that is clearly a sign of love and care. So
it
most
is.
People, if you say, even if they don't believe the same way that you believe, you can say, you know, I care about you enough, and this is my love talking here. I want to know if I can pray for you.
Yeah, very sweet.
That's a very welcome type of invitation I found.
It is. So let's take a little break and then get back to prayer. All right? Be back in a minute. Good morning. 8 minutes after the hour, and we are talking about prayer today as it's National Day of Prayer. We're trying to talk to as many pastors as we can in the listening area all throughout the Faith Radio Network. I have on the studio line Pastor John Fuller from Prairie Lakes Church in the Waterloo area. John, good morning.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Good morning.
Yeah, all right. You are up and at 'em. I love it. What is going on in your community? What should we be aware of, and what should we be praying about in your neck of the woods?
Well, you bet. I appreciate it. We will covet the prayers of all God's people around the area. We are in the Waterloo Cedar Falls area, and we have a very diverse community. We have a racial reconciliation that needs to happen across our cities, and that's a really, really big deal. It's gone on for a long, long, long time, and unity is a prayer that we would just covet that God's people be praying for racial unity in the Waterloo Cedar Falls area. So that'd be one big one that I would pass on. Second one that we're seeing in particular in the Christian community, marriages are just getting destroyed. We're just seeing young couples getting their marriages attacked in horrible ways. And so we're really doubling our efforts on praying for marriages along with racial unity.
I have to pause when I hear that, John. That just makes me sad. I mean, it's
It is.
It is.
And there's pictures that I could paint for you that you know, of good young Christian couples.
Yeah, just to encourage me, paint one. Just to encourage me, paint one, and for our listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the attacks of inadequacy, insecurities. When the devil brings up your past.
Yes.
We just have some folks, you know, we're a church that we go after a lot of people who are far from God.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if you don't reconcile and receive forgiveness for your past, it continues to haunt you. And boy, that's the pictures that we're seeing are mainly due to that.
Okay. And John, how is God working in your area? What are you seeing that's just encouraging?
I can't tell you how encouraging it is in the Cedar Valley, what we call the Cedar Valley. We are seeing multiple churches really thrive, and that's a beautiful thing. You know, we're not in competition with each other. We're after the same thing. We want Jesus to be honored, and you know, our mission at Prairie Lakes is, we say, we want to make it really hard for people to get to hell from Iowa. And if we can all stay on that same page, it's a beautiful thing. We have some really thriving churches. We're really, really grateful for that. So that's really encouraging.
Yeah, John.
Go ahead.
I normally do the jokes on this show, just so you know.
Okay, good. another really encouraging thing up here is we're just seeing God move in the lives of people. We're seeing people who are getting sick of, you know, where they're at, getting sick of themselves, and looking for hope in Jesus. And we're seeing it across all, you know, racial lines. We're seeing it across socioeconomic lines, small towns, big towns. We're really excited about what God's up to.
Uh huh. And then anything personally going on in your life that we can be praying for? I mean, how is your energy? You're running a church. Are you holding up okay?
Yeah. I appreciate that. No, I'm old and getting old and grumpy. How about that? No, I've been at Prairie Lakes for, my wife Kay and I have been at Prairie Lakes for 19 years.
Okay.
We have six campuses. And
wow.
Yeah, it's
you're a busy guy.
It's tiring at times, but every day is worth it. We are so, so grateful. But you could pray, honestly, you could pray for just energy and wisdom. and vision. We don't want to quit. We don't want to stop.
Yeah. How are the network, how are the area pastors doing as far as networking with each other? Is there a nice fellowship? Do you guys get a chance to meet and pray together, or are you all kind of busy in your own zones?
There are some of those. We have such a network of our own churches that most of our time is kind of spent with our own campus pastors. We also do a cohort. We did a cohort of pastors around the state every month. We pray together and seek God and learn how to be better leaders and be good servants of this great thing called His church.
That's awesome. You know, it is National Day of Prayer. It would seem fitting if we sort of wrapped up our time together in prayer. And I dibs, you go first, and you close as well.
I will. All okay, right. I appreciate it. Father, thank you. You are good. You're a good, good Father to us. And Lord, you love Iowa, and you love the Cedar Valley more than we do. And so, Father, we lift up our region. We lift up our families. We lift up our schools. We lift up our businesses. Father, we pray that your name would be honored and glorified in all things. And God, we know the enemy wants to steal and kill and destroy families and people. We know he wants to discourage. We know he wants to tamp down your spirit. So we pray in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus, that you would prevail, that your name would be glorified, that marriages would be healed, that people would come to know you, that the churches would be united. And we're very grateful, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
John, I can hang with you.
I can hang with you, too.
Awesome.
If you want to call me early in the morning, let me know.
I will. Thanks for being a guest, and we loved having you. And I definitely will call you again, and have a great rest of the day and a very blessed week.
All right.
Thanks.
You, too. Appreciate it.
You bet. That was Pastor John Fuller from Prairie Lakes Church in the Waterloo area. It is 14 minutes after the hour. When we take after a little short break, we're going to continue more of National Prayer Day here on Faith Radio with talking to several more pastors. We've got still plenty to come. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back. So nice you're with us today, and especially on this National Day of Prayer. I've got on the studio line Adam Weber from Embrace Church in Sioux Falls. He's written a book called Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. Says life is crazy, prayer is simple. I thought no better person to talk to than Adam. Adam, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's fantastic to be on the show.
I love it. You sound so sincere. That's something I already like about you.
No, I kind of wear my heart on my sleeve.
I love it.
It's hard to do anything else but be that.
So talk briefly about your motivation to write your book, Talking with God. And I love the subtitle, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. And today is the National Day of Prayer, so coach us.
Oh, well, prayer is something that has had a huge impact on my own life. As a non-believer, I was invited to a youth group and in high school. And that first night I went, the pastor talked about prayer. And it was unlike anything I'd ever heard before. Just the simple but wonderful truth that we can talk with God. And he hears what we have to say. For me, growing up, prayer was more just kind of words you said and recited just to kind of check a box. And I just never knew that I could talk with God. And so it's such a shaping thing. And now even as a 35-year-old adult, I'm so thankful. Never been more thankful for that same truth. When I'm broken, when I'm excited, when I'm hurting, when I'm restless, I can talk with the God who created the heavens and the earth. I mean, that's an amazing thing. And prayer is one of those things that is so simple, yet we make it so complex. And so I think there's a ton of people, both in and outside the church, who want to pray and want to talk with God, but don't know where to start. And because they feel like they should know how to do it, they feel weird asking questions about. And so that's really where the heart of the book came from.
That's awesome. You know, recently there was a TV program with Jimmy Kimmel. He was talking about his birth of his son, and he said, I had atheists praying for me. And I thought, what an odd thing to say.
There's something inside of us that causes us to pray. I'm always fascinated. I've been on a lot of airplanes this last few weeks again.
Mm-hmm.
When you take off in an airplane, it's interesting to look around, and all of a sudden you'll see signs of the cross. You'll see people quietly talking to themselves.
Uh-huh.
mean, we turn into a praying people. When when your sports team, I look back at the Cubs in the World Series. That, I think that's probably one of the biggest prayer gatherings that we've had in the United States for a while. Just all the people like physically praying for their team. And even when you when you go back into surgery at a doctor's office, whether it's a simple procedure and you haven't been to church in decades or ever before, something causes you like, God, I hope I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
God, would you be with the doctor? I mean, there's something inside of us that causes us to pray.
You know, I remember during 24, I was praying for Jack Bauer. Like,
Lord,
I know I shouldn't be praying
alive
for this, but he's in trouble.
That is awesome.
Today's National Day of Prayer, so it's a great opportunity to be reminding everybody, but it's not something we do once a year. It's something we should be having it be on our heart that we're practicing every day. And I think some people go to God and they go, is he an angry boss? Can I really talk to him? Is he going to talk back? What if he asks me to do something I don't want to do? Then what?
No, it definitely is. It's scary, and I think there's so many misconceptions about even who God is. As a new Christian, I can remember reading through the Bible and being totally surprised with the God I found in the Bible, specifically through Jesus. You know, whether it's like Jesus talks about the heart of God and explains he's like a shepherd who's lost a sheep and like a father who's lost a son,
mm-hmm.
like a woman who's lost a coin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, God searches for us like that?
Yeah.
I thought I had to clean my life up and figure everything out before I could talk with him.
Yeah.
And you really begin to understand the true heart of God and that he just is pursuing us and constantly with us. It changes what prayer is all about. And it's like, wow, I can talk with God like our Heavenly Father. It just changes it for
mm-hmm.
so much. And I think opening our Bible is a great place to start when it comes to prayer, of just like, who is the God we speak with? And like, whoa, this is who he is? This is pretty amazing.
Yeah. So what are some of the prayer concerns going on in your neck of the woods? Whether
it's personal or it's
your community, either one, we're open to it because it's the National Day of Prayer.
Yeah,
and I'm talking to Adam Weber, and I'm feeling like Mr. Big Shot right now.
Oh, gosh, far from it. I think community-wise, I think as always, Sioux Falls is a great place. Just it's a growing place. It's an exciting place to be right now. So many neat things are happening. But as with any people, I think there's a hunger for truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the greatest needs is to, as followers of Jesus, is to be showing people the love of Christ and also inviting and telling our story and what God has done in our life. I think people are just hungry for a relationship with Jesus. And this is an area of the country where a relationship with Jesus might be new for a whole bunch of people even to hear. And so I think there's just a hunger for truth. And just as followers of Jesus, just meeting people in that place of just showing them what it looks like to be a follower of Christ instead of kind of the stereotype of what it means to be a Christian, kind of a judgmental know-it-all. I think if we can meet people in that place, that's a huge need right now. I think people are just searching in general and looking for purpose.
Oh, yeah.
And again, that just brings people right to Jesus. Like, at the American dream isn't satisfying and fulfilling, but following the Lord is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's just that need for genuine, wholehearted followers of Jesus just to live like Christ more than ever. And I'm seeing that. One of the exciting things that I feel like is happening right now is it's so cool to see churches across town and across the area growing, both in Sioux Falls and even in surrounding communities, to see churches thinking outside the box and really having a heart to reach people is probably the thing I'm most excited about. Again, even outside the church I pastor, just different churches in town here and outside of town, I feel like I've never been cheering louder just to see all the cool God things that are happening. But
yeah.
I think there's just a hunger for truth and a hunger for purpose in the midst of the exciting things happening here locally.
Well, let's give him praise. Adam, would you do the honor of praying for us on this National Day of Prayer?
I would love to.
Awesome.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for today, and we thank you for every day that you give us. And I pray specifically for Sioux Falls and the Sioux Empire region here, just for people both in and outside the church and even in my own heart, God, would you just set a hunger inside of us for you? Would you just show up so clearly in our lives? Again, whether it's been years since we've been to church or we faithfully attend, would you just make yourself so evident to us today that we couldn't miss you? God, you're the source of joy and peace and kindness. You're the source of purpose in our lives. And God, we're searching, and help us to run to you instead of everything else. God, I pray for the churches in this area as well, that they'd rediscover their love for you, that we wouldn't be country clubs and inward focused and quick to judge, but instead, Lord, we'd be outward focused, and we just long to tell people the good news about you, Jesus. And God, we just thank you for this day, and we just give you thanks and praise just for who you are. You're so good to us. You're so faithful and full of love and kindness. God, we thank you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Adam, I love your heart. It lives outside your chest cavity. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much again for having me on.
Yep. We'll be in touch again, hopefully down the road. Thanks, Adam.
Yep, thank you.
You bet. We'll be right back with more Faith Radio. Good morning. Half past, as they say in the UK. Half past. Anyway, Bill Arnold here, and it is National Day of Prayer. I got another prayer request from a listener who has a son. And we all have people we know in our lives that might be struggling a little bit. And this son just needs a little bit of peace and direction, strength and hope. His name is Kevin. We're praying for him today, as we will continue to pray for all of our loved ones. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, more on the National Day of Prayer right here on Faith Radio. Be back in a minute. Good morning. 37 minutes after the hour, or I should say 23 minutes until the top of the hour. That's more positive. I like that. Anyway, I got a call, an email from a listener that said, would you pray for my two sons, for their faith in Christ, especially the 22-year-old who's drifted away a little bit, and pray that he would come back. So let's remember our children that have wandered a little bit, and we always pray that we're able and equipped to help them to be who they need us to be as parents and relatives and siblings, to help draw them back to their faith and to encourage them and to be patient with them, because sometimes you want to be impatient. But that's just me. Now, my next guest, Peter Wolfgang, he's from the Family Institute of Connecticut, and I know he probably works with pastors quite a bit, so we're anxious to have him on. Peter, good morning.
Bill, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I was wondering what it was like for you as a kid when it came to picking teams. If I was the captain, I would go, I'll take Wolfgang. Because I figured that would scare people.
I was actually one of those guys that was like the last one to be picked. I'm sorry to say.
So you were like the last guy to get picked? Oh, that name, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take Wolfgang. That would just, to me, that would like scare everybody. So what's it like in your neck of the woods? You work with the Family Institute of Connecticut. What is that?
Right. Family Institute of Connecticut, we're a pro-life, pro-family organization. We're the local affiliate for Focus on the Family here in this part of southern Connecticut. And in terms of what it's like, it can be very rough going. Just in the past week at our state capitol, we've had some attacks on marriage, on the free speech of people with traditional values, with biblical values. So we're kind of, to a certain extent, when it comes to spreading the word of God, spreading the gospel, we're a little bit behind enemy lines here, Bill.
Mm-hmm. So you're feeling the attack from the enemy right up close and personal, aren't you?
Very much so. There's been a big backlash from really anti-family, anti-life forces. Ever since the last election, they've had a sort of injection of grassroots energy, and there's a lot of what you might call unholy rage happening. And unfortunately, we're having to deal with that. And it's been a real slugfest this year.
Mm-hmm. Peter, what is it like spiritually in the Hartford area? What is there churches that are active and turned on, or is it quiet there spiritually? I don't know that area super well. I've been out there many times, but I don't know the area spiritually.
Well, it's a mixed bag. And by the way, I have a bird, a cockatiel, that decided to be very loud as soon as I got on the phone.
I love it.
Hear that in the background.
No, just let it rage all at once. I don't mind competing with your bird.
Connecticut, the Hartford area, is very tough spiritually. Every so often, an article will come out about what are the most biblically literate and illiterate sections of the country. And I'm sorry to say that Hartford and New Haven are frequently listed as some of the least biblically literate sections of the country.
Wow.
You see that a lot. Now the church has been strong at certain points in the last 15 years against a lot of the attacks that came on their values. So, for instance, when there was the big push to change the definition of marriage in Connecticut, the churches really rose up by the thousands. We had thousands of people at the state capitol. And even in a place as liberal as Connecticut, Bill, mm-hmm. they never did change the definition of marriage through the legislature. It only came about by court order. And even after that, we went back to the capitol and secured some of the strongest religious liberty exemptions against same-sex marriage in the entire country. Now, unfortunately, that was about 8 years ago. And what we've seen in the years since then is really a decline in a greater passivity, I would say, on the part of the churches to defend their own values. So just recently in Connecticut, a bill was voted on in our state House of Representatives to criminalize so-called conversion therapy.
Mm-hmm.
These are therapeutic practices that help people who are struggling with homosexuality to live a heterosexual lifestyle. They want to make this against the law that you can't even talk to people about this if you're a paid therapist. This passed the House of Representatives by a vote of 141-8. And to a large degree, we know that there are perhaps some ministries, some therapists in Connecticut that do this work. We were in touch with a few. None of them do the extreme practices that they have been accused of, but none of them wanted to come up to the state capitol and testify, none of these ministries, and that's why this vote was so lopsided. So we really need prayer, I think, for the Hartford and New Haven area, that the churches will be less passive, that they'll recover some of that energy that they had as recently as 5 or 10 years ago. That's a real concern that we have in Connecticut.
Peter, what about the pastors in the area? How are they holding up?
Well, the pastors need our prayer. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, you know, the pastors are under incredible pressure themselves. You know, their congregants, their parishioners are a reflection of the culture around Connecticut, and it's to their credit that they're drawing them in. You know, there are churches in Connecticut that are very full, but when they come, of course, they bring a lot of the things that the state of Connecticut overall is struggling with. So it puts the pastors in a delicate spot. You know, they want to preach, as we know from Paul, you have to preach the whole counsel of God. Woe to me if I do not preach the whole counsel of God. At the same time, you want to be gentle and loving, and it's a very delicate balance for them. And they're under a lot of pressure. There was a pastor out in the eastern part of Connecticut who was elected to the state legislature, and unfortunately he was just recently caught up in some scandal about sending inappropriate Facebook messages to one of his female congregants. So, mm-hmm. you know, these guys, if they don't get the support that they need, then things like that are going to happen, and they do need our prayer. They need our support.
You know, Peter, we're running out of time here, so I would love if you would pray for your area, your region, and the work that you're doing and the pastors and your community, and I will pray that your blue cockatiel stays quiet.
Thank you, Bill.
All right.
Heavenly Father, we do pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for that your spirit be stirred up here in the state of Connecticut. We pray for the pastors. We pray for the shepherds of your flock. We know that you are the one true shepherd. We know that you died for our sins. We know that we are covered in your redeeming blood. Please stir up your spirit here in Connecticut, God. Make us come alive. Make us, O Lord, defend your values. Make us speak for you, Lord. We want to do what you want. We want our will to be your will and only your will, nothing more, nothing less, and exactly the way that you want it, Lord. We want whatever you want, whenever you want it. please, Lord, stir up your spirit here in Connecticut. Make us be more faithful to you. We ask this, Father, in the name of your only Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Peter, I am choosing you number one on my team.
Thank you, Bill. And yeah. I do ask, you know, Faith Radio, you guys have a very big audience. We listen to you here in Connecticut on 94.1 FM and 1290 AM. And, of course, you're big nationally. We do ask for the prayers of all the good listeners of Faith Radio for us, for your brethren, for the chosen frozen here in Connecticut.
You got it. Thank you so much. And, Peter, I look forward to talking to you again. If my name shows up on your caller ID, make sure you take it.
Absolutely, Bill. Right. Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you, Peter. All right, we'll take a short break and be back with more Faith Radio Mornings on this big National Day of Prayer. Thank you. Welcome back. So glad you are joining us today on this big National Day of Prayer. We're trying to talk to as many people as we can from our listening market. And right here in the Twin Cities, I have on the studio line Vicki Winfelt. She is from a Wooddale Church, adult ministries pastor, and that includes pastor of prayer. So I think we're calling the right person this morning on the National Day of Prayer. Vicki, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for including me.
Now, you and I would both agree that prayer is critical, and it's not something we just do and focus on one day a year, is it?
That is correct. I consider it as important as breathing.
Yes.
It's our lifeline to God.
So do I. But it is worthy every now and then to gather as a country and say, let's just all focus today on this day and make sure we're crossing all of our T's and dotting all of our I's when it comes to prayer for our country. Our country needs to repent and needs to come together in love.
Yeah, I agree, Bill. And I think because, you know, you and I are we're Christians, we love the Lord, it's easy to agree on that. What I really love about the National Day of Prayer in particular is that even the government officials tend to agree. If you look at the history, the government officials have been kind of driving this date and this occasion and this reason to pause and recognize God in the process of our, you know, blessing our country, really.
And that is something we don't hear very often from elected officials. They kind of push this to the side. You know, they, on occasion, when there's a tragedy in the country, will say, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with the families. And that sounds kind of patronizing in a way, because they really don't ever publicly come out and pray. And it's been a while since any elected official has done that.
Yeah, it's true. I think we saw on right after 9/11, there was a proclaimed National Day of Prayer in a direct response to that. It was like on the 12th or the 13th, the president said, we will have a day of prayer. But that was in response to one of the greatest tragedies our country has experienced.
Mm-hmm.
So it tells you how rare it is.
Yeah. Vicki, what is your personal prayer life? When you like look at the news of the day and you see all the things that are going on in the world, what does it do for you in your prayer life?
Well, first of all, my personal prayer life doesn't exactly react to the news. I have my morning, start my day with God time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I read the Bible and pray. I have a discipline of prayer that I follow. But throughout that, I feel like I'm kind of logged on with God then for the day.
And I love that expression.
And as the day goes on and I receive news, whether it's political news or news of a family member or a church member or a friend that has, you know, been hurt or experiencing loss or some tragedy, naturally my heart inclines right away to God for help because I'm already sort of, you know, like I said, logged on with him. I'm in fellowship with him. And so since I personally can't do much to change the situation, I appeal to God for his mercies, his grace, his help, and all the good things that I know he has for
mm-hmm.
us.
It's like Brother Lawrence would say, you're practicing the presence of God in your life throughout the day.
Yeah, isn't that great?
It is great. You know, I think it's...
Well said.
Yeah, it's just like making sure God's like on a walkie-talkie versus, you know, just ordering room service at the end of the day, like some people do.
Right, or feeling like prayer is a last resort because, you know, I think that that's the wrong thinking. If we say it's our first go-to, it's our, you know, M.O., It's where we know our help and our hope comes from, and that He wants us. He wants us to come. He's waiting. He's right there.
Yeah. How often do you hear that? Well, like, all right, I guess all we have left to do now is pray.
I know.
We hear that all too often, and we go, no, that's the first thing we should be doing.
Yes.
And Christians, really, for the most part, I think they do have an instant response, an instant inclination to go to God. And oftentimes it's short prayers, prayers of panic and desperation sometimes. I think God's okay with those too.
Yes, I agree. We used to call them arrow prayers, where we're like shooting a little arrow up. But he's totally fine with that.
Uh-huh. Now, as we're gathering and getting ready for the National Day of Prayer, as we are enjoying it today, I'm thinking, what is your church community doing in particular? Anything specific?
Yes, we have a prayer breakfast, which starts at 8 o'clock, and we'll gather for 1 hour from 8 to 9. We'll have some fellowship, free coffee and donuts, unlimited supply of coffee and donuts.
I will so be there.
And then we have a devotional by Pastor Kyle Robinson. He's our campus and executive pastor. He's going to give us a 10 or 15 minute devotional on prayer, and kind of jumping off the verse that is the verse for the year coming from the National Committee, which is Daniel 9:19. It's, O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act for your sake, O my God. And it's Daniel crying out to the Lord. So we'll have a devotional, and then we're going to spend a good solid 30 minutes in prayer for our country, for our state, for our community, for the schools, for workplace. We even pray, Bill, we pray every year for the media. It's on this checklist.
We pray mostly for me.
We understand that you've got a huge responsibility in reporting the news and contacting the right people, in helping bring understanding to, you know, the masses on sometimes what's going on and how we could look at it. And then we pray for our families and ourselves. So it's 30 minutes of prayer, and it's just beautiful to me. I hear the hum and the sound of the prayers of God's people going up to Him, and it's really a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
so.
Well, Vicki, why don't you just close us out in a little prayer, if you would.
I will. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come before your throne of grace. We come in the name of Jesus Christ, and we ask for your blessing on this country, on our lives, on our mission that we feel like we've received from you, that is to go and make more disciples for your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Vicki. Great to have you on the program, and we'll talk to you again soon. Have a great day.
Thanks, Bill. Keep up the good work.
We'll be right back.
Bye.
Good morning. 4 minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here on the big National Day of Prayer, and it's been really a great, great morning. I want to thank Rebecca Maxwell for her extra hard work.
Oh, you're welcome.
And reaching out and to all of the pastors in the listening area. It's really encouraging to hear that the listeners at 94.1 FM in Hartford are big listeners. Thank you. Hello. We'd love for you to send us an email. Let us know that you're listening and that let us know what you want to hear more of. Because this is why we're here. We're here to serve you, okay? You can email me at bill@myfaithradio.com. Give us some subjects you'd like us to discuss, and we will do it. On this big National Day of Prayer, it has been interesting. We've had many, many callers and people who have emailed in. One in particular, Joan from St. Paul, she said she's finishing her master's right now and seeking employment. And where does God want her to go? And that's a great, great concern of a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anything to do with work and like your purpose in life, those are big questions, and there's no better place to go than to God.
Yeah, that's why I will be personally praying this afternoon. And another listener said that there is a need for prayer because there's a need for purpose and family purpose, and finding the right career is a big concern right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about to have another child, and the church they go to, they want to continue to be in service there and help, and they want to pray for a grandparent who's sick, and they want to pray for the youth. They've got kids, and they're being raised in what they call perilous times, and they want to pray for a revival in the body of Christ, and that's what we all need to do as well on this big National Day of Prayer. Let's pray that we have a revival in the body of Christ and start with ourselves, repent, and ask God to forgive you your sins, because like that's what I did first thing this morning. And also that he can heal our wounds and our troubles and give us a clear vision of what is next, because he's got work for us to do. And let's just be listening, keep our ear to the ground, and find out exactly where he wants us to go and what he wants us to do. And we will have a lot of personal fulfillment, and we'll be able to share that hope with others. So have a great rest of the day. Thanks for listening this morning. Loved having you. Love you. All right. Talk to you tomorrow.